Welcome back to the Bob Davis Podcasts. This is podcast 533. I'm on the deck. It's a beautiful summer night in August, very early part of the month of August. And this is going to be a down and dirty podcast in podcast 533. Why do I say that? Not because it's down and dirty, but because I'm putting it together very, very quickly to cover a breaking news story. So I'm using equipment that I can put stuff together very quickly with. Why? Well, the best way for me to explain it is simply this. A citizen has alleged campaign finance allegations against a local Tea Party organization and the PACs related to us. Campaign finance violation allegations. And has filed a complaint with the Minnesota State Campaign Finance Board. This is important because there's a big fight going on in the North Metro associated with the North Metro Tea Party and candidates who are challenging incumbents. In this case, the Speaker of the House of the State of Minnesota, Kurt Daunt, and other candidates in the region who are considered to be incumbents, or quote-unquote establishment candidates, depending on how you want to look at it. So that's why this is an important story, not to mention the fact that the North Metro Tea Party has been in the news a little bit recently on some of this stuff. So that is why this is a big story. So we're going to talk to Matt Stevens from Elk River, Minnesota, who has filed the complaint and has tweeted it out and has a lot of people suddenly tweeting and noting it on Facebook and very interested in this story in the present time frame. Well, before I get started, I should mention, you're going to hear me talking about audio equipment and getting ready and putting stuff in the truck in this podcast because I'm getting ready to head out to Sturgis. And I'm very, very excited because today Mobile Podcast Command got new shocks on the back. I did not need new springs, got the transmission serviced, and it is running great. And, of course, exgovernmentcars.com are the people that found the ambulance for me for Mobile Podcast Command, and they did a fantastic job. So I just want to say I've had three Crown Vics, and of course Mobile Podcast Command, which is a Ford 450 Super Duty diesel ambulance, and it's just been great. ExGovernmentCars.com is Minnesota's only dealer specializing in one-owner, professionally maintained government fleet cars, trucks, and SUVs. What's great about it is if you need a car or a truck, and you need a loan if you have a job, you're going to be approved. ExGovernmentCars.com can approve all levels of credit, so it's really important. They take trades. They pay the highest values for trades every day without all the bull. And don't forget the three-day peace of mind guarantee exclusively at ExGovernmentCars, which means they take care of you. Get your butt down to ExGovernmentCars, now open at 2420 Nevada Avenue North in Golden Valley, Minnesota. You can call them at 763-777-8782. Or check them out online. And yeah, I brought the bullhorn out on the deck.
ExGovernmentCars.com.
Now, we're live on the deck of the broadcast bunker in the late evening. And this time of the day, there's usually planes landing, police and fire every now and then. And it can get pretty crazy in terms of sound. I love that kind of ambient sound. Some people get upset about it, but I think it's great. And so in this case, I apologize in advance for the noise. But all my, you know, studio equipment is in the truck as I get ready to head for Sturgis tomorrow, or maybe even when I finish this podcast. But this will work well. I've done things this way for years, so I'm not concerned. So let me introduce Matt Stevens to you. Matt is a self-described political observer. I guess that's the best way to describe it. He has uncovered what he believes are campaign finance violations by the North Metro Tea Party officers. Now, I'm going to let Matt explain what he's uncovered. I talked to him tonight before the podcast. Matt, again, tweeted out a copy of the complaint made to the Minnesota Campaign Finance Board earlier today. It took a while, but others have retweeted it, and now it's starting to gather steam. I've read the complaint and reviewed some of the campaign finance laws, but I am certainly no expert. I'm not a lawyer, and I'm no expert in campaign finance law in the state of Minnesota. I've been involved in politics enough to know that campaign finance law can be really tricky, and you really should err to the conservative side when it comes to what you do in politics, because there are even rules regarding what basic political units can do, who they can talk to, and how they can talk to people with campaigns versus congressional districts, and people in politics follow this stuff pretty closely, because you can be fined, you can lose your status, you can go to jail. It's a pretty serious matter on several levels. Now, I'm going to talk to Matt, and then I'll be back to try to winnow this down a little bit. In the interests of full disclosure, I know many of the principals involved in this story. I don't know Matt. I've never met Matt that I know him. And I've always found the people involved at the Tea Party level to be gracious, engaging, and good to me personally. So this is not about them personally, because I think this is a story that's going to cut probably one of two ways when it finally is fleshed out. I think the real issue here is the question of Tea Party groups becoming active in politics, which many of us have criticized them for not doing, but they remain tax-exempt educational groups. If you'll recall all the stuff about the IRS and Tea Party groups back before the last presidential election and the whole IRS thing and the Lois Lerner thing, it had to do with this tax-exempt educational status of Tea Party meetings. So what some people have done and what this group in the North Metro has done, the North Metro Tea Party Alliance or whatever they call it, they've started PACs, which are political action committees, which are designed to be active in politics. So now there's going to be two questions with this. First of all, I see this story going of one of two ways. Either it is a last-minute dirty trick by the forces that be that want to keep Kurt Dowd in office. And, you know, I'm not going to say there's justification to say that. I'm going to say that it's a scenario. And I'm going to say that I do know that the state political, the Republican Party in the state, historically has spent a lot of money on a few state races with people that they consider to be key in the Republican delegation, either in the House or the Senate. So I certainly wouldn't put it above the Republican Party to do things that are not illegal, but are nasty, okay? That doesn't mean that they have. I'm saying this first because I think this is going to come up first as a defense, that this is some kind of a campaign dirty trick, because we have a primary on August 9th, and the candidate in question here, Mr. Duff, is challenging Kurt Dowd for the primary vote to be the candidate for House in that district. The question for me is, if these allegations, and honestly, when you listen to the allegations, it's going to be pretty hard for the Tea Party to say that they didn't do these, or that it's not true, even though they are. It goes to this question of competency. Is the Tea Party capable of understanding the very complex and serious campaign finance law as it pertains to running campaigns, developing campaign messages, creating and printing campaign materials such as flyers, signs, and so forth, and having people as both guests to their meetings and speaking, as well as having them on podcasts that are put out by the Tea Party group? So I think the question will also go to competency, depending on how it comes out. The purpose that I have in doing the podcast is to get this out and get it out first, so that there is a there's an interview with Matt that's available for people in the media to listen to. I did reach out to Jack Rogers of the North Metro Tea Party and Jake Duesenberg, and neither one of them responded to me. It was pretty late, and I'm just going to quick check my email while I'm talking, and I don't see anything from them. And I'll just real quick, as I'm speaking, I'll check Facebook here, because I want to make sure that they didn't respond on Facebook. Now, when I come back, Jake did respond on Facebook to this a little earlier today, and he did respond on Twitter, but there has been nothing after that. Other people have also responded, people in politics, and they're pretty shocked at this story, and I will tell you that. So without any further ado, I'm just going to bring on Matt, and we'll go from here.
Hello.
Hey, Bob.
Thanks for calling me back. I've been watching. I think I saw your tweet probably right after you tweeted it, and it's been really interesting this evening because we've been doing some other work just watching this thing start to blow up. So I have some questions about this. First of all, why don't you define what it is that you tweeted and the complaint that you filed with the state?
So I filed a complaint with the Campaign Finance Board alleging that some independent expenditures were not so independent related to the Duff campaign.
The Duff for House campaign, right?
Yeah, Duff for House. Yeah.
What House district is that?
31.
Okay.
I can't remember if it's A or B. It's the opponent or the incumbent is Kurt Dowd on the Republican side.
Okay.
And what's really happening here is this: there's a new leadership pack. The North Metro Tea Party has this group, Liberty for Action, and they're all kind of in bed with each other. And listening to Jack Rogers and Jake Duesenberg's podcast, I mean, it's pretty darn obvious that there's some collusion going there. Not only because people are sitting on, as the president of one group or the treasurer of another group, and then are an advisor to a campaign. In Jack's, Jack Duesenberg's case, where he's president of that Liberty for Action, and then he's an advisor to the candidate. Well, I mean.
Apparently that's unofficial, though. That's an unofficial thing, supposedly. I mean, I'm not debating, but I'm just wondering if that has a legal implication.
Well, that's for the campaign finance board to sort out. The way they talk about it in their own podcast, it sounds pretty official and pretty tight. When they're talking about action of the campaign or of these independent expenditures, Jack and Jake always refer to it as we. It's never they did this or this group is doing this. It's we did this.
Huh.
So you can kind of see where their mind is at before they actually got called out on it.
So what are they not allowed to do? How are they violating? And because I wouldn't even begin to tell you, I'm not certainly no authority on the vagaries of campaign finance. What statutes are they violating here?
I don't have the statutes in front of me. Those are kind of difficult to remember for the non-lawyer type.
Well, sure, but I mean, in general, I don't expect you to be that specific.
Sure.
If you were, I would be in awe if you actually could cite the statutes. But go ahead, sorry.
Really, what it boils down to is they, if a group is going to do an independent expenditure, they can't coordinate it with the campaign, and that's happening several different ways. With Jack's relationship with the campaign, or I'm sorry, Jake's relationship with the campaign. And then with the owner of Beanie Graphics, who is also the treasurer of the Tea Party, and will need to sign off on any independent expenditures. Well, as the owner of this graphics company, he also knows what the campaign's doing, what their message is going to be, and he's being used, or he's fulfilling orders for the campaign, the new leadership pack, and the Tea Party's pack. So it's just everybody's looking at each other's books, and they can coordinate a message pretty quickly that way.
And your evidence for that is things that they've said on their podcasts.
Yeah, yep.
Jake tweeted tonight that it's not true? And my understanding is Jack says it's not true?
Yeah, no, they're going to deny it. Jack and Jake never do any wrong because, it's for the greater good, and they just don't do anything wrong. They're I don't know. You know how that some of those folks get.
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out exactly. So how serious is this in the realm of campaign finance? And I don't know how much you know about it, but that would be my question to Gary. I've emailed, is it Gary Goldsmith, the guy that you... How serious is this? Like, what can happen if it turns out that the evidence that you've submitted, have they said anything to you about investigating this, or what's the next step here?
The campaign finance board has to take it up. And they'll need to at least investigate it because the accusation is breaking specific laws, so they need to at least address that and say yes, they did, or no, they didn't.
So what are the specific laws that they're breaking? And again, I'm not trying to get you to give me the statute, but what are they specifically doing that's illegal, that you think is illegal?
The coordination.
Okay.
And the coordination, and if the coordination's illegal, then their disclosures and their campaign finance reports are in error. Would probably be the most polite way to say it.
Okay. Now, I have some questions for you, because people are going to, you know, I've already seen some stuff that people have said that you were one of Norm Coleman's campaign guys. Is that true?
No. I held my nose and voted for the guy, but I wasn't.
Well, you know, and this is what people are going to say. So, do you work for Kurt Dowd or anything like that?
I know him. I appreciate what he's done in leadership. I mean, I get it's a crap job signing up to be leadership, and I appreciate what he does. But I don't even have the guy's phone number.
Right. So, but there's a picture on your Facebook page, I think, of you holding a Kurt Dowd sign. So, you know, people are gonna wonder whether you campaigned for him, or there's a little bit more to this than just a concerned citizen.
I have a picture of him holding a sign of his?
I think it's a picture of you holding a sign, yeah. Isn't it on your Facebook page or something?
No, my Facebook page has one of the bridges downtown lit up in blue lights as both my profile cover and page.
Okay. Well, no, it wouldn't have been your profile picture. Maybe we were looking at something else. Maybe that was some other thing that I was looking at in the midst of trying to figure this out. So, if that's not true,
the reason I ask is it's just
full disclosure that people are going to say, "Well, he works for Kurt Dowd, and this is just dirty tricks before the primary." That's what they're going to say.
Oh, okay, I see what you got there. Yeah, that was at the Sherburne County Fair.
Okay,
the picture's actually of Nick Zerwatt.
Oh, okay, that's not you.
That's not me. We printed up those, or I printed up those shirts that said "Rum, Make America Great Again."
Okay. Well, I just, you know, the reason I brought it up is that that's going to be one of the things that people are going to, you know, because it's not unusual in Minnesota politics for this kind of thing to happen, you know, where people who are, you know, the response is going to be, well, we're just trying to help people and we're doing good things, and this horrible person has filed this complaint and we never did anything wrong and he's working for Kurt Dowd. I mean, it's not out of the question that that's what you're going to hear tomorrow.
That's going to be said, yeah. That picture's taken at the Sherburne County Fair this year.
Okay.
So, yeah, he's in Sherburne County, so yeah, he has a sign up at the GOP booth in the county fair.
Okay. So, so you're not involved working with Kurt Dowd or anything like that?
No. He had no idea what I was doing.
Okay. You haven't heard from him, have you?
No. No, hasn't reached out.
So are you a lawyer?
No, I did have some help writing it with. I started complaining about it, and then got in touch with a friend of mine who helped me with the details and who does some legal filings work just to help clean it up and tighten it up to make it look.
And who was that? Who was that?
Just a friend of mine who likes to stay out of politics.
So he's not involved with Kurt Dowd or any of the people in that campaign?
No, he just, somebody files legal briefs fairly regularly for different lawyers.
And do you have any other evidence besides the citations from the podcasts? And we're not sure if we have the whole document here, so that's the reason I'm asking for that.
And the lack of any transfers or any in-kind work done by either group, or the lack of any in-kind work done on the campaign expenditures. The like you said, the podcasts where they gave their own confession. That and what got me on this originally was I had an email address set up that only the North Metro Tea Party had. And it got shared with a candidate that those guys are back And I asked Jack about that. And
so the email list would be a question, too.
Yeah, he denied that. That I'd have a tough time proving.
Right.
But that's what kind of got me hunting them a little bit. I saw what was going on with that, and that kind of got me watching this coordination and all these flyers that are coming out there. Because I have some coworkers who live up that way, and they know I'm into politics, so they keep bringing me all these flyers and that they're getting bombarded with.
For Alan Duff.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, and so you're wondering, you know, who? So you're basically alleging that there's a coordination of message between the Tea Party Alliance, the Tea Party PAC, and of course the Tea Party itself, the North Metro Tea Party, or whatever they're calling it today, is not.
Right.
It can't. They're not a campaign organization. It's supposedly for education only, right?
Well, I think they're doing it through their PAC portion, which would be a campaign arm, and then also the new leadership PAC.
Okay.
And the new leadership PAC is involved in this because they're running all of their printing and mailing through the same print office that everybody else is here, serving all those parties, and then being the treasurer for the Tea Party. It kind of de facto is coordination. There's actually a campaign finance board opinion on that that's pretty straightforward. I think it was in the citations.
We're being attacked by planes, so I have to come inside the broadcast bunker.
You got to play by the rules here, you know?
So you couldn't find the citation from the campaign finance board?
I'm looking for it right now. It was in the brief there. Advisory opinion 410.
You're gonna get. I think this is gonna. You're gonna get a lot of action tomorrow on this. So you should probably wake up early.
Actually, I was kind of wondering what was taking so long. You're the first to call me on it.
That's what I do. Well, thanks once again to Matt Stevens. And I'm not saying anybody is right here. I did ask Jake for a comment 9 hours ago at this time. This is about midnight, Tuesday morning. He wrote, "Challenge the establishment and you will get enemies. Some little pathetic man from Elk River filed a formal complaint with the campaign finance board today alleging a bunch of things against Jack Rogers and myself. He drew some interesting conclusions and did a lot of, quote, investigative work, unquote, despite the length of detail in the report being quite important. Impressive. None of it happens to be true. I wonder why this uninvolved party in our race is filing the complaint. What does he have to gain? Did Kurt Dout's people put him up to this?" Now, I asked him that specifically, and he denied that. The other thing I want to say is that there's no shortage of intense rivalries and political enemies among people who are passionate about politics, particularly in some of these Tea Party groups. And some people are shocked at the intensity of the emotion on this stuff, but you will often see, and I've witnessed it up close and personal, so I know, you will often see people who are supposedly uninvolved, you know, attacking people for someone else, and then you will see people coming right out and attacking people personally. I would urge you to find this complaint and read it. That's the first thing. The second thing is, and I'll post a link to the Twitter account for Matt. The second thing is, these are pretty serious allegations, and they're pretty specific. So, as Matt said, you're going to have to wait and see what the Minnesota Campaign Finance Board does. Now, I sent an email to the gentleman that Matt sent his complaint to, asking him to respond to a couple of questions. I asked a couple of questions of the Minnesota Campaign Finance Board to find out what they intend to do with this. First of all, how serious are these allegations? What happens if they're proven true? And what's the next step? Those are the questions that I asked, just as some, you know, to a little help to find out what they're going to do with this. So that's where we stand right now, and it's going to be a developing story. It's important because it has to do with the political efficacy of these two gentlemen with the North Metro Tea Party. I have certainly criticized them before for attacking politicians like Tom Emmer and others. And sometimes I agree. I'm not a big fan of Kurt Dowd. I think Kurt Dowd has not done a great job as speaker. He certainly hasn't been a powerful voice of conservative politics. They've increased the state budget. They seem to have capitulated to Democrats. And the state party and the state leaders in Minnesota will always say, we're really trying hard, and it's hard because the Democrats have a majority and they have the governor, and what do you expect us to do? Well, people who are on the far right, the people who are really fighting this fight, expect them to stand up and fight, and they would support them. On the other hand, I have often said that their support at best is generally tepid. They generally do not have a political organization that can deliver votes and money, and I think that the whole Tea Party PAC and everything else has been an attempt to do that, and I applaud it. The problem is, if you don't err to the conservative side when it comes to campaign finance and you upset people, as Jake has said, well, then you invite all kinds of trouble into your house. And so we'll just have to wait and see whether or not that's the case. Thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast, Podcast 533, done at a late hour very quickly to get as much of this thing with Matt Stevens up as possible. Well, I'm super excited to get ready for my trip to Sturgis, which is why this podcast has been kind of hectic, but I wanted to get this story out as quickly as possible. And, of course, I am going aboard Mobile Podcast Command, came from exgovernmentcars.com, and I'll just tell you real straight, they take trades, they can get you approved if you have a job, it doesn't matter what your credit level is, you're good to go. And, of course, they have the three-day peace of mind guarantee, and they're announcing the grand reopening of their location in Golden Valley at 2420 Nevada Avenue North. Ex-Government Cars.
ExGovernmentCars.com.
Thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast on Stitcher.com, iTunes, TuneIn, BlogTalkRadio.com. Thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast radio show. And I will have excerpts from this interview and perhaps some reaction in the radio show this weekend, which is heard on the Patriot at AM 1280 in Minneapolis and St. Paul. Thanks for sharing and liking and listening to the Bob Davis Podcast and for checking me out on social media, on Twitter, Facebook, and, of course, Instagram, my favorite social media. We're going to have an announcement coming up very soon. We tried to put it up tonight. Mitch was over, and we got embroiled in this political thing. But we also had some issues with the piece of plug-in software that we're using. We will have an announcement coming up on streaming for the Bob Davis Podcast soon, so stay tuned. Thanks for listening to Podcast 533, the Bob Davis Podcast. Don't forget Alpha Systems, the digital sponsor of the Bob Davis Podcast. I've told you all about AOA. If you're a pilot, you want to be safe on takeoffs and landings. It's all about lift. It's all about the turn on final approach where pilots lose lift. And in general aviation, it's the number one cause of death of pilots. Alpha makes the revolutionary angle of attack indicator, gives you a visual indication of your lift slash your angle of attack. Check it out by clicking on the banner at the top of the Bob Davis Podcast page for Alpha Systems for more information about Alpha's revolutionary angle of attack indicator. Thanks again for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcast. I'm done.